Kushala rasarga. Yanti kama tasaya yanti dante asasada. Yemanya rakpita payam bruva anayaste. Kirtanya tirta yasasaha kusala rasagya. Natyanti kambikanayanti apite prasadam. Kimanya darpita paryambhuva anayaste. Yengyanta tata yati sadara bhavata sataya. Kirtanya tita yasasa kushala rasagya. Vaishnavis. Natyanti kam vijananti apite prasadam. Janaya. Janaya. Kirtanya tirtaya sasa kushala rasagya. Na, not. Atyantikam, liberation. Viganayanti, care for. Api, even. Te, those. Prasadam, benedictions. Kimu, what to speak. Anyat, other material happiness. Happinesses, sorry. Arpita, given. Bayam, fearfulness. Bruvaha, of the eyebrows. Unayai, by the raising. Te, your. Ye, those devotees. Anga, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Twat, your. Angri, lotus feet. Sarana, who have taken shelter. Bhavata, your. Kataya, narrations. Kirtanya, worth chanting. Tirtha, pure. Yasasaha, glories. Kushalaha, very expert. Rasagya, knowers of the mallows or humors. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benedictions, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions, like the material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. Please repeat. Persons who are very expert and most intelligent in understanding things as they are, engage in hearing narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of the Lord, which are worth chanting and worth hearing. Such persons do not care even for the highest material benediction, namely liberation, to say nothing of other less important benedictions, like material happiness of the heavenly kingdom. Purport. The transcendental bliss enjoyed by the devotees of the Lord is completely different from the material happiness enjoyed by less intelligent persons. The less intelligent persons in the material world are engaged by the four principles of benediction called Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Generally, they prefer to take to religious life to achieve some material benediction, the purpose of which is to satisfy the senses. When, by that process, they become confused or frustrated in fulfilling the maximum amount of sense enjoyment, they try to become one with the Supreme, which is, according to their conception, mukti or liberation. There are five kinds of liberation, the least important of which is called sayujya, to become one with the Supreme. Devotees don't care for such liberation because they are actually intelligent. Nor are they inclined to accept any of the other four kinds of liberation, namely to live on the same planet as the Lord, to live with him side by side as an associate, to have the same opulence, and to attain the same bodily features. They are concerned only with glorifying the Supreme Lord and his auspicious activities. Pure devotional service is Shravanam Kirtanam. Pure devotees who take transcendental pleasure in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord do not care for any kind of liberation, even if they are offered the five liberations. They refuse to accept them, as stated in the Bhagavatam in the third canto. Materialistic persons aspire for the sense enjoyment of heavenly pleasure in the heavenly kingdom. But devotees reject such material pleasure at once. The devotee does not care or even care for the post of Indra. A devotee knows that any pleasurable material position is subject to be annihilated at a certain point. Even if one reaches the post of Indra, Chandra, or any other demigod, he must be dissolved at a certain stage. A devotee is never interested in such temporary pleasure. From Vedic scriptures, it is understood that sometimes even Brahma and Indra fall down. But a devotee in the transcendental abode of the Lord never falls. This transcendental stage of life, in which one feels transcendental pleasure in hearing the Lord's pastimes, is also recommended by Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya was talking with Ramananda Roy, there were varieties of suggestions offered by Ramananda regarding spiritual realization. But Lord Chaitanya rejected all but one, that one should hear the glories of the Lord in association with pure devotees. That is acceptable for everyone, especially in this age. One should engage himself in hearing from pure devotees about the activities of the Lord. That is considered the supreme benediction for mankind. Jai. Om Gyana Timadanda Shya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakopa Tubhishtha Kripasindhu Bhavcha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So let's go to the translation again. But I would like to read Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur's translation on that verse. It's, and just see how he's bringing a different point, not the same point, but in a different way. Persons who have realized you do not regard attainment of impersonal liberation as your mercy. What to speak of attaining a material position like Indra, which is subject to fear caused by the Lord raising his eyebrow? O Lord, those devotees surrendered at your lotus feet are expert knowers of rasa derived from narrations about your fame, which should be chanted and which purify even everyone like a tirtha. So it's nice. Actually, in the word for word, that word there is raising the eyebrows out of fear. So here he's bringing out a little more. So, and actually he gives a short purport, Vishnuvath Chakravarti Thakur, and I like to read that. He says, what to speak of the bliss in meeting you directly? The bliss experienced in glorifying your pastimes is much greater than the bliss of Brahman. Persons who realize you do not give regard to liberation in the form of merging in the Brahman, Atyantikam. As an act of your mercy, what to speak of respecting the post of Indra, Anyat, in which there is fear caused by the raising of the Lord's raising his eyebrow. Who are the devotees? He asks a question. They are expert knowers of rasa revealed in narrations of your pastimes. Others are not expert. Those narrations contain your qualities and pastimes worthy of glorifying and which purify like holy places. Or the meaning can be, they are knowers of rasa and narrations about you whose glories are worthy of chanting and are purifying. So it's very nice. Just see different viewpoints like that of the same thing. Beautiful. So here we are practically at the end of the chapter. There's five verses in the prayers by the Kumaras to Krishna or to the Lord. And basically they're saying, only by your mercy have we become devotees. And devotees do not consider liberation as your mercy. So these are the five verses. There's only a couple verses left now to this chapter. So that's this section where we're at. So you might be wondering, what is that? Have you ever heard of the term, in like a needle, out like a plow? Sorry about that. Went too fast. There we go. So as we mentioned in the purport, or in the verse actually, it says, intelligent persons do not care even for the highest material benedictions, liberation, to say nothing of important benedictions like happiness in the material king, in the heavenly planets, like with Indra. So we see, we're going to find out, so much stress is being made that the expert and intelligent devotees, they just hear the narrations of the auspicious activities and pastimes of Krishna, and they don't care for other achievements. So why are we working for so many achievements? So many other things. We have so many duties, so many ideas. Can we give them all up? But if you try, then you're going to find it's not possible. So even when we're stuck in the midst of these inferior activities, if we just bring Krishna in, isn't that what we tell people when we preach? Oh, you don't have to worry about following all the rules and regulations. Just add Krishna. Just chant Hare Krishna, right? So we should also do that. We should do that to ourselves. So we can't stop everything immediately. So we just add Krishna. And that's what it means, that eventually as they chant, it's like the holy name comes in like a needle. It penetrates into the dry earth, this barren earth of our present engagements, and which we're struggling to get these false goals. And then it injects Krishna, this pure spiritual activity, and then it comes out like a plow. And what does a plow do? It cultivates the land, whatever. So we could see in this dry, barren land, the needle of Krishna consciousness comes in, just the holy name, the narrations of Krishna. And what comes out is a beautiful life, a spiritual life, you see, which are the devotees. They're like touchstones, because wherever you go near a devotee, they hear and chant about Krishna. So this is our best friends. They're very valuable people. So another intelligent person, as we know about the past time, which is referred to in this particular purport, is Prahlad Maharaj. And we see Hiranyakashipu is actually very affectionate to his son Prahlad. He puts him on his lap and he inquires, you know, what's the best thing you learned today in school? And as usual, Prahlad Maharaj, he praises the 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, you know, like this. So the king of the demons, he was like, he became angry and he chastised his teachers. Why are you teaching these, my child, this devotional service? And then when they were like, no, they proved themselves innocent. And then Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad, where did you learn this from? And then Prahlad, you know how he replies, those who are too attached to family life, they do not develop Krishna consciousness, either personally or collectively. They suffer repeated birth and death in this material world. And they just chew that which has already been chewed. So Prahlad explains like that. So he says here, unless you're a pure devotee, you can't become Krishna conscious. So enraged at this answer, Hiranyakashipu, he threw Prahlad off his lap. And then he told his teacher, he said, this guy is treacherous. You know, he's become a devotee of Vishnu, and he's actually a killer of his uncle, Hiranyaksha, right? So he thinks of Prahlad as an assistant to killing his brother. So in that way, he told his assistants, just kill him. And so they began to strike him with weapons, you know, and there's so many ways they try to kill him, throwing off mountains and like that, try to arrest him. But then when they found out that was impossible, then they thought, okay, let's bring him back and let's try to indoctrinate him again. But Prahlad did not listen to any of the instructions. In fact, when they weren't around, he began to preach to the other demoniac classmates and made them devotees. So just see, hearing and chanting for ourselves, but also be bold enough to go out and preach. So this is what Prahlad Maharaj said here. And we could chant together because it's all about hearing and chanting about Krishna, right? So it's say it together or chant it together. Shri Prahlad Vacha Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Bandhanam Dasham Sakyam Atma Nivedanam Iti Pum Sharpita Vaishno Bhaktis Chenava Lakshana Kriyate Bhagavati Ada Tanma Jedita Uptamam. And this is a translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu. Remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything into him. In other words, with body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So it's a beautiful purport there and verse. But like a summary, he's describing how pure devotional service involves 9 processes, with chanting the holy name of the Lord is the central and powerful practice that cleanses the heart. And it awakens realization to help us overcome offenses. So this is from 7.5.23.24. So another very intelligent person, which Prabhupada refers to in this particular verse and purport, Prabhupada says, this transcendental stage of life in which one feels transcendental pleasure in hearing the Lord's pastimes is also recommended by Lord Chaitanya when he was talking to Ramananda Roy. And he explained how he was mentioning so many things, you know, suggesting what is the highest spiritual realizations. And Lord Chaitanya rejected all of them except this particular verse that is repeated here in this particular chapter. So actually we see when Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy, he was asked to meet him. And then they met and then they couldn't meet. It was a brief meeting, but then Lord Chaitanya was just completely absorbed in meeting Ramananda Roy. He couldn't wait to meet him again. He felt that Ramananda Roy was non-different than his own body because he just wanted to hear him chant about Krishna. This is the perfect example of devotees, associated with devotees. And they were the perfect example of that. So this is what that verse is. We could chant that verse together too. Gyane pasayam upadaspa namaste, namaste eva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadi devartam stane stita srutikatam tanuvana mabur ye prasita jyotita sayapi astitas trilokyam. So that's a Satmukharitam declared by realized devotees, Bhavida Varnam, discussions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is what he said. Ramananda Roy is actually quoting Lord Brahma. My dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the absolute truth and have therefore abandoned discussing empiric philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter, surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind. They can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. So Srila Prabhupada, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this verse, he actually sticks this in there like that. You should completely follow the principles of free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, like that. So Prabhupada was, you know, really stressing the importance of that. And then, this is what he said in the next verse. Prabhu kahe e hohaya age kaha ara raya kahe prema bhakti sarva sadaya sada. So at this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, that is all right. But still, you can speak more on the subject. And then Ramananda replied, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection. So just see, okay, it's accepted. We need to hear about Krishna. And then what comes next is this ecstatic love for Krishna. So this is what it's described. The intelligent devotees are expert at rasa, understanding these things. So there's a nice purport there. I would like to read just a paragraph. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepted this verse, Jane Prasana Prayasam. That's the verse, today's verse, and this is the one from the CC that's being quoted. As a basic principle of perfection, one has to practice this principle in order to make further progress. When further progress is actually made, one comes to the platform of ecstatic loving service to the Lord. This first stage is technically called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service and practice. The result of sadhana bhakti must be ecstatic love, attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is also called prema bhakti. In the neophyte stage, sadhana bhakti includes faith, association with devotees, and practicing devotional service. Then one is freed from all unwanted things. One then becomes fixed in devotional service and increases his desire to act in devotional service. Thus, one becomes attached to the Lord and his devotional service. So here's an intelligent devotee. Of course, we know Lord Brahma. He's the one that quoted this verse. But before that, it reminds us of the pastime which took place. So here's Brahma. He's looking at something. We'll show you what he's looking at. But he's thinking, I'm the Lord of the universe. And this is taking place in my universe. You know, so if Krishna is within my universe, he's subject to me. But not only that, but look at what he's doing. Compared to the things that I do, riding on my swan, having so many worshipers in my kingdom, he's just playing in the forest. And yet I understand that he's Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But now I wonder, let me play a trick showing my power and we'll see what happens. So this is what he's looking at. But if, unfortunately, this scene that Brahma saw, he didn't think it was very wonderful. And he's like, just see, he appears to be like an uneducated village boy playing with his flute tucked in his belt and in his hand some nice combination of food and yogurt. And the boys are just playing and Krishna sometimes playing the flute. When he saw Krishna sitting in the midst of all these boys and the boys were in circles around him, one circle, another circle, another circle around Krishna. And Krishna's like in the middle, like in a lotus. And they're all eating lunch. And Krishna was joking. And each boy, he thought, I'm face to face with Krishna. And each of them was feeling, oh, so fortunate, you know, I'm with Krishna, like that. So this is Krishna was fulfilling all their desires in his non-majestic aspect and friend and equal, which is amazing. So this is beautiful. So what happened? As soon as Lord Brahma did his trick, a moment later in Brahma's time, which was a year on earth, he regretted it. What have I done? I'm playing with fire. And he's like, oh, Krishna, something's going to happen for this audacious act of mine. So Krishna showed him that actually, from the tiny form of Krishna, all the coward boys, all the calves, and not only that, all the Shivas, all the Brahmas, all time, all space, and even the Vishnus are coming. So it just blew the mind of Lord Brahma. So what did he do? He was humiliated, you know, Krishna exposing his tiny potency. So he became very sorry, and he said these very nice prayers, glorifying Krishna. And basically saying you should try to understand, you should not try to understand Krishna by speculation. And he was very sorry for being very presumptuous, you know, to be as great as God. And so now he accepts Krishna, that small form as a coward boy, is actually the absolute truth. That inconceivable form with inconceivable pastimes. So this is what he said. This is the actual verse, and you notice how Prabhupada added the four principles to this verse. So we could, those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge with their body, words, and mind, offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you're otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the three worlds. So here the word Prabhupada describes. This is actually not Prabhupada's purport, because I think he left on the 13th chapter. So they're quoting this word, udapasya. It clearly indicates that one should not even slightly endeavor to understand the absolute truth by the process of mental speculation. And the word jivanti indicates that devotee who always hears about the Lord Krishna will go back home, back to Godhead, even if he does nothing else except maintain his existence and hear the topics of the Lord. This is amazing. This is the power of it. So then there's more and more, but we don't have time to go into more. So let's go to the next intelligent person, of course, we know. This is Kapila Dev speaking to his mother, who is also very intelligent. And regarding the verse, it talked about persons who have realized do not regard attainment of impersonal liberation of your mercy. What to speak of attaining material positions like Indra, which is subject to fear caused by the Lord's rising eyebrows. So this is what it's described. So this is the verse described in the chapter, The Glories of Devotional Service. There's three verses that I just want to go through real quick here. And this is the one where it's described here about the time, or the fear. It is because of my supremacy that the wind blows out of fear of me, the sun shines out of fear of me, and the Lord of the clouds, Indra, sends forth showers out of fear of me. Fire burns out of fear of me, and death goes about taking its toll out of fear of me. So this is the devotees aren't interested in these positions which have fear. So then he goes, well, what explains before that in text 34 to 36? So it's described here. A pure devotee who is attached to the activities of devotional service and who always engaged in the service of my lotus feet never desire to become one with me. Such a devotee who is unflinchingly engaged always glorifies my pastimes and activities. And then he goes on explaining to his mother, oh, my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form with eyes like rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent, and they also talk favorably with me. And then the 36th verse. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord, smiling and attractive, and hearing his very pleasing words, the pure devotee almost loses all other consciousness. His senses are freed from all other engagements, and he becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. So this is very nicely described, how there's different levels of devotees and how they approach Krishna. But it emphasizes that even the third class devotee, he may not have much knowledge, he can attain liberation just by engaging in Krishna consciousness, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So Lord Chaitanya mentions five most important processes of devotional service. And we know what they are. They're described as the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And then we'll just go through those quickly. Associating with devotees. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Seeing the deities. And living in a place like Vaikuntha. So if you engage in these five processes, you gradually progress in your devotional service and you attain the highest perfectional stage of the love of Krishna. So this is what his Lord Chaitanya is recommending, the same thing. So Adyantikam, this word was in our verse today, and it reminds me all the time of this verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, Adyantikam means liberation, the ultimate, supreme, uninterrupted. And according to Jiva Goswami's words, Adyantikam Kshema means the supreme good. It's like can't be touched even by the slightest fear or the highest, most perfect goal of life. So this is that verse from the Bhagavad Gita. In this age of Kali, people who are endowed with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his associates by performing Sankirtan Jaga. But the actual verse is in the sixth chapter. It talks about this perfection of trance, is that you have this joyous, unbounded, joyous state with boundless transcendental happiness. Adyantikam. That's that verse. So, and then he talks about the merging of the Vinati along with his conditional living tendency with the mystic lying down of Mahavishnu is called the winding up of the cosmic manifestation. And liberation is the permanent situation of the form of the living entity after he gives up the changeable, gross, and subtle material bodies. So this is an amazing purport there. Srila Prabhupada explains that some people have to be born again, but other people who are actually hearing and chanting about Krishna, they don't merge into the Mahavishnu. They actually go back to Godhead. So that's basically what it's describing. That's why I brought this up. So they're permanently liberated and they occupy a place in the kingdom of God, actually. So another very intelligent person, we know this whole pastime of Lord Rishabhdev, and this is what he says. Devotees always bathe themselves in devotional service in order to be relieved from the various tribulations of material existence. By doing this, the devotees enjoy supreme bliss and liberation personified comes to serve them. Nonetheless, they do not accept that service, even if it is offered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. For the devotees, liberation, mukti, is very unimportant, because having attained the Lord's transcendental living service, they have attained everything desirable and have transcended all material desires. And that's also a very beautiful purport there. And then also we see there's King Nimi, very intelligent person. He sees the nine yogendras. And what does he say? Therefore, O completely sinless ones, I ask you to kindly tell me what is the supreme good is. After all, even at a half a moment's association of pure devotees within this world of birth and death is a priceless treasure for any man. So again, it's bringing up this point how valuable devotees are and how they're like desire trees. So here, this is it. So Srimad Bhagavatam. This talks about this kataya, the narrations, the supreme benediction for mankind. And also, we heard that it is also the basic principle for perfection. So this is the Kumaras. They're actually offering their heartfelt prayers, expressing their joy in witnessing the personal form of the Supreme Lord through devotion and emphasizing the supremacy of devotional service above all other pursuits. So that's it for Katayaha. So any other comments or questions? Realizations? Yes, Maharaj. Okay.
Thank you for a nice class, Prabhuji. I just wanted to point out in this very wonderful painting that we can see that these four Kumaras are not ordinary children. They are very...
They're ancient.
highly, yeah. Devotionally absorbed children. And each one of them is absorbed in some aspect of devotional service. We can see the one down at the bottom here. He's looking at the lotus feet of Krishna and trying to grab a little of the dust, you know, maybe to put on his head or put on his body.
Yes.
And he's, one of them here, he's just staring and gazing. He's enwrapped. And the one over here, I mean, they're all naked, by the way. They're not naked because they can't afford clothes. That was not the idea. They're naked because they don't feel there's any need for clothes for them. Because for them, whether they wear clothes or don't wear clothes, it's just the same thing. There's no difference, and that's because the idea of nakedness as being something sensual or sexual or like that, that doesn't exist for them. The only thing that exists for them is glorifying, honoring, serving, looking up to, being engaged in different services to the Supreme Lord. So we can see how happy they look. I mean, they don't have to be laughing, but you can see they're totally, look at the one on here. He just can't take his eyes off Krishna's beautiful, overwhelmingly handsome face. And this one down here, he's got his hand on his heart, which means that the heart is almost ready to burst out of the skin. He's so deeply enwrapped. So this is something that we should not imitate, but we should be very happy to see that this is possible if we take to this process of devotional loving service. And Prabhupada says this again and again and again. And it's possible for anyone and everyone who is sincere and who wants to please Krishna and honor Krishna and glorify Krishna. And if he wants to do that, Krishna will reciprocate and give his own love to that devotee, and that devotee will feel uplifted, enamored of the Lord, completely fulfilled by the Lord. There will not be anything needed, anything more, anything extra, because they will feel complete. And that's something every person, every human being does not feel complete, and they're always searching and looking and going, trying to find something that will give them the complete happiness, which nothing can except as we see this beautiful picture of Lord Vishnu and this beautiful picture of these boys who look so completely, completely, completely satisfied.
Okay. Yeah, they have it's showing their beautiful journey from impersonalism to devotion, which leads to seeing the eternal form of Krishna.
Thank you.
Jai. So anything else? Jai, thank you so much for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.